Many people believe that once you become a Christian, that you're saved forever. And many people contend that that is a biblical truth. And there are several different scriptures that people will use to make that claim. And one of those is found in John chapter 10, verse 28. And as we've done, you know, a couple of weeks, we're taking a verse that sometimes is not well understood or taken out of context. We want to look at John chapter 10, verse 28. And you'll see this verse is on Facebook and is used a lot in artwork. And this actually right here, as you see on the screen, is a combination of Isaiah 49:16 and John 10:28. Your name is permanently engraved in the palms of my hands, and no man shall pluck you out. And you often see artwork like this. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And sometimes you see it paraphrased such as this: God has an unbreakable grip on me. And so, you know, what does this verse teach? This verse does say that I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So who is this that is being talked about, and does everybody have the right to claim this scripture for themselves? Who are these people that cannot be snatched out of the Lord's hand? And so let's look at that. And those of you that, I really threw this in just for Beth, actually, right here. And maybe there's others too, but if you look in John chapter 10 and verse 28, John chapter 10 and verse 28, there is no named recipient, just personal pronouns. It uses the third person plural pronoun either in the nominative case, they, or in the objective case, them. He must be referring to an antecedent mentioned in the previous verse. So that clears everything up, doesn't it? And to understand the antecedent that Christ was referencing, we have to go back to the previous verse. Basically, what we're saying is whoever these sheep are, we have to go back to the previous verse to figure out who it is that Jesus is talking about. You don't need any of that English stuff. So we need to understand who Christ is referencing in verse 28 when he says, I give them eternal life. Well, who is them? Well, if you go back to verse 27, you can see that it's talking about the sheep. And so we have to figure out who the sheep are and what the sheep represent. So, who has the right to make this claim? Well, we can now eliminate some who have no right to claim that they can never be snatched out of Jesus' hand, because we see that it is only the sheep that are mentioned in verse 27. Those are the ones that cannot be snatched out of God's hand. So there's really no comfort in this verse for anyone who doesn't consider themselves to be a sheep. And so what we can see in this scripture is that these sheep that are mentioned by Christ, you know, they could refer to religious people in the world, right? They could refer to the religious people in this world. But these sheep are not just any religious people. These sheep are not just any sheep, because there's three identifying marks of these sheep. So these sheep that cannot be snatched out of God's hand have some identifying marks, and that tells us a lot about. The first mark that we see, that you see highlighted here, is these sheep hear my voice. They are, I'm going to call them listening sheep. These are sheep that listen. They're not baaing all the time. They're actually quiet, and they're listening. And actually, the New International Version uses this term listen here instead of the term hear. And so what this means is that this is the kind of sheep that heeds what the Lord says. It obeys what the Lord says. If he does not obey what the Lord says, then he's really not hearing, is he? He's really not listening to the voice of the Lord. So, you know, let's kind of put that to the test a little bit. You know, if the sheep that are here that cannot be plucked out of the Lord's hand are sheep that are listening sheep, are people really listening to everything that the Lord says? Do we listen to what the Lord says? Let's put this test to sometimes people who apply this scripture to themselves. Because if they are not to be snatched out of the Lord's hand, then they need to be listening to Jesus. And sometimes people will fool themselves into believing something that's not true. So one thing that sometimes people read or don't read or read and don't believe is something that Jesus said in Mark 16, 15, and 16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, or he who does not believe shall be condemned. And many times those who say that they are among those sheep that will not be plucked out of Jesus' hand don't really listen to, they're not listening sheep, they're not listening to what the shepherd said, because this tells us that anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But many people who think that they're in that group of those who will not be plucked out of Jesus' hand but have never done what Jesus said here, they think anybody who believes in Christ is saved, period. So, you know, the question here is who said this? Well, Jesus said it. It was Christ that said this verse. It is the words of the Lord. And we go back to what we see in John chapter 10. Who is it that won't be plucked out of his hand? It's those sheep, and it's those sheep who listen, and they listen to their shepherd. And so if you're not obeying the voice of the Lord, you're not really listening to the voice. And so if you're not listening to the voice, then you're not one of those sheep. You're not one of those sheep if you're not listening to the voice. The voice of the Lord is very clear. It's not merely believing in the gospel that saves a man. There's other things that are involved. In fact, you know, when Paul was told by Ananias to go and be baptized, it was for the purpose of washing away his sins. And also the example that we reference many times on the day of Pentecost, when people became emotional because of what Peter had said. Peter was addressing an audience that was believing. You could tell that they believed because of the emotion that was involved after Peter told them what they had done. They are believers now. And when they asked, "What shall we do?" Peter didn't say, "Well, you've done it. You're okay now because I can tell because of your emotion that you believe. And you're okay. And you just need to wait for a special day next month when we're going to baptize all of you in a ceremony." That's not what he told them. He told them they needed to repent and be baptized. They were already believers. And so Peter taught what the Lord wanted taught. Peter listened to what the Lord said in Mark chapter 16 and told them the same thing. And so the sheep that are listening really need to listen to everything that the Lord has to say if they want to be in that group that is not going to be plucked out of God's hands. But there is another mark. There is another mark. "My sheep hear my voice and I know them." So they are listening sheep, and they are also known sheep who are known by the Lord. And some might say, "Well, you know, the Lord knows everything. He knows everybody. He knows me because He knows everything. And besides, I call on Him daily. I pray daily." And there are ones that might say, "Well, I'm spreading the gospel in His name. I have cast out demons in His name. I perform miracles in His name. Therefore, the Lord knows me." Well, we know the answer to that. And Jesus said, "Depart from me, you who work iniquity." He said, you've never known me. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, you know, Jesus really refutes the idea that people say, "Well, you know, I know He knows me. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done wonders in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So, everyone who claims to be known by God, and you may even use Scripture selectively, does not always do the will of the Father. And Jesus said, those that don't do the will of the Father are going to be surprised when they say, "Well, I know you. No, I don't know you. You may think you know me, but I don't know you." And so, are they doing the will of the Father by obeying what Jesus commanded? If not, if I'm not doing that, if
I am not known by the shepherd, if I am not known by God, then I'm in a bad position. I don't have the right to claim that I'm among these sheep that are going to be, that will not be plucked out of God's hand if I'm not listening and if I am not known by the shepherd. The third mark of these sheep is that they follow. They are following sheep. I know that's not really correct grammar. It should be they are sheep that are following. But, you know, it had to fit on the slide. So, they are sheep that follow Christ. That is the third mark. They are Christ's followers. They're Christians. And the Scriptures, the disciples of Christ are the ones that are called Christians. Acts chapter 11 tells us that was the first time that Antioch people were called Christians. So, the disciples of Christ, how can they be distinguished from other people? Well, the Bible gives us clear answers to those questions. John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus says, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples. And so that's pretty clear. You're my disciples indeed. So it's clear who are the real disciples. It's the ones who are abiding in the teaching of Christ. And if they don't abide in the teaching of Christ, then what does that say about them? Well, you know, you're not my disciple then. If you're really my disciple, you do what I say. You follow me. You listen. And those that, you know, follow a little bit and do some of what Christ said, you know, that's really not doing it all. And, you know, there are so many examples that we could use in the world of, you know, halfway following instructions that doesn't get the job done. You know, if you skip instructions, if you leave things out, if you get halfway through the owner's manual, you throw it away, you know, it's not going to end up with the right result. And so that those that do not either practice the truth or those that believe others who are not really teaching all of the truth, it puts people in a bad situation. If you don't teach the teaching of Christ and if you don't remain in the teaching of Christ, you're not truly followers of Christ. The Apostle John tells us clearly about this in 2 John 9. He says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So if you don't have God because you're not abiding in the teaching of Christ, you're not really in the hands of the Lord then. How can you be in the hands of the Lord if you really don't have God? So, there's really no way for somebody who is not a listening sheep or a known sheep or a following sheep to say that this verse applies to them. But you see people applying this verse all the time. You know, it's one of those things that makes a real pretty poster. And you can go down to any religious bookstore and buy one for yourself. But it really, unless you look at verse 27, verse 28 really gives you no comfort at all. Unless you are a listening, known, following sheep. So, don't follow any teaching that's not found in the Bible. Don't follow people who are teaching biblical truth, but they're really selective about the biblical truth that they reveal. They just select verses that support their own belief or hide or suppress others. You know, that's not the way that it should be. We should be teaching the whole counsel of God. Well, let's also address, since it's a popular belief, is it true that once a person is truly saved that he cannot lose his salvation? Because let's say that we are listening, known, and following sheep, and we're in the hands of God, and nobody can snatch us away. Does that mean that we're always there and nothing can happen to us? What does the Bible have to say about this? Is it true that once a person is truly saved, he can't lose his salvation? Well, Jesus tells us about this in John chapter 15 and verse 6. In John 15, verse 6, the Lord said, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers.
Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. My dad used to use this illustration a lot. In terms of the scripture, when people talk about once saved, always saved, and he says, you know, what is the branch attached to? What's the this parable of the vine and the branches. Well, is the branch part of the vine? Well, yes, the branch is part of the vine. Well, what happens to the branch that's not fruitful? It gets cut off. Well, and sometimes people will say, well, if you're lost, you were really never part of the church. You were never really a Christian. Well, was the branch ever part of the vine when it was cut off? Yes, the branch was part of the vine. And what happens when it was cut off? It was thrown into the fire. What does the fire represent? Heaven? No, it doesn't represent heaven. So in the parable of the vine and the branches, and the branch is part of the vine and then becomes unfruitful and is cut off and cast into the fire, you know, that really clears up whether or not once saved, always saved is a doctrine that should be believed. Because Jesus, you know, totally obliterates that, and that you need to be fruitful. You're part of the vine and then you're not part of the vine, and you're cut off when you become unfruitful. So it's very clear that Christ is teaching that those who are in Christ are not eternally secure if they don't make the right decisions. There's conditions that need to be met. He needs to remain in Christ. And part of, you know, being a listening sheep is doing the will of the Father and doing that consistently. The Apostle Paul also believed in the possibility of being disqualified. He talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I'll tell you what, I take no glee or joy in answering the argument of once saved, always saved. Wouldn't it be great if it were true? I'd feel a lot better about myself. So I'm not trying to twist the scriptures to teach something that's going to make everything harder for everybody and make everybody feel uneasy and on edge. I'm just trying to teach what the scriptures teach. And I don't know how you could read what Jesus said about the vine and the branches and what Paul said about himself. And we talked about Paul this morning and what a great, remarkable change he made in his life. But even after that change that he made, he didn't think that he had attained. He kept pressing on. He didn't look back. He kept pressing toward the goal. And he says that I'm disciplining my body and bringing it into some subjection. Because if he did not do that, he could become disqualified. When you become disqualified, you don't finish the race. You don't get the prize. He also said in Romans chapter 11, verse 22, he said, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but towards you goodness, if you continue in His goodness. If means that there may be some that didn't continue in His goodness. And also Paul used the same language that Christ did. If you continue in His goodness, otherwise what? Otherwise you didn't continue in His goodness, you will also be cut off. And so there, the same language that Jesus used, Paul teaches the same thing about salvation that Jesus did. So is Jesus, when He said that you'll never be snatched out of my hand, was Jesus confused? Did Jesus contradict Himself? No, what Jesus is saying is correct. You know, as we've been studying through the Old Testament, we noticed in our class that the Lord provided six cities of refuge for those that committed manslaughter, who accidentally killed a person, to seek a place of refuge or get protection so that he would not be killed by somebody who was wanting to avenge blood. But once the manslayer is inside of the city of refuge, he's safe, right? But when he gets out of the city of refuge, what happens? Well, then he's in a dangerous situation. And he can choose to go to that city of refuge and be protected by that. Or if he leaves that,
I don't know if we have any examples of somebody leaving a city of refuge or not, but it would be very unwise to do that. You know, we've been given a city of refuge, so to speak, in our relationship with God. No man can snatch us out of His hand. Satan can't snatch us out of His hand. But we've seen in the examples of the vine and the branches, those that are unfruitful are cut off. Paul said, I can become disqualified. So really, that puts that responsibility on me to stay in that place of protection. In the Old Testament, the manslayer must remain in the city of refuge that he fled to until the high priest died, Numbers chapter 35. So I think there is a parallel there, that we can seek refuge in Christ to be saved. And He is our high priest. And if we remain in Christ, we are saved. If we don't remain in Christ, we're no longer saved. So you want to be one of those that is saved. You want to be in a situation where you are a listening sheep that listens to the shepherd. And when you listen and do what the shepherd says, then you are known by God. And you are those who follow the shepherd. That puts you in a place of safety. That gives you the protection of being with the shepherd. Now, if you wander off, you know you're on your own. You have to stay with the shepherd. So, this is another one of those scriptures that, on the surface, gives people comfort. But if they look at the context, they may see that there's more responsibility that they need to have, more things that they need to think about so that they can be in that place of protection. God offers us a unique place of protection as being part of His family, being in His church, being His people. So let's know that, and let's be happy that we are in that situation, be thankful, and encourage others to be in that place of protection also. I hope this will be useful to you. And if you are subject to the invitation in any way, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.